I just have some thoughts to share about the idea of making room for mission. The mission table is sort of the capstone to our tables. You see them out in the lobby. And I want to tell you before we get to today what we're going to talk about and actually do, the mission table is not about projects or trips. And I think sometimes we get that in our heads that a mission has to be a project or a trip. And they're important. We're going to do them today. But the majority of mission life is day-to-day relationships that you build up over time with people that you get to know in what are called sociologically third places. Not your home, not your work, maybe your work, not your church. Anywhere out there, though, whatever you do, wherever your life takes you, whatever season of life you're in, you can be an intentional missionary to see what relationships you can build. First of all, just to love people, but knowing that God will use those relationships to allow you to share the goodness and the beauty and the truth of the gospel with people. That's the majority of the mission table, right? But today we're going to focus on the idea of just being visually present in our community so that we can try and do what I've talked about doing several times, not just be a church in Salem, but a church for Salem and the surrounding communities. So, we're going to talk about, though, this morning, making room for mission and how important it is. We're going to look first at Mark chapter 11, just a couple verses. If you have a Bible and you want to turn to it, you can. The words are up on the screen behind me, though. Mark chapter 11, starting in verse 15, going through verse 17. On reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple courts and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves, and he would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And as he taught them, he said, "Is it not written, 'My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations,' but you have made it a den of robbers?" This passage is famous. Because it's the one time when we get angry and we want to justify our anger, we go, "Jesus got angry!" Right? So this is where we go. This is our home base for just proving that we have a right to be angry about whatever we want to be angry about. So Jesus, it's interesting though, we actually never told Jesus is angry. Do you notice that? In John's gospel, it says that he is zealous, but it never says he's angry. But Jesus does have a reaction to what's happening in the temple courts. And the question you might ask is, okay, what does this have to do with mission? I thought this was a passage about how we shouldn't buy and sell in the temple courts and we need to be careful about finances in the church and things like that. And you could take this passage 100 different directions, and I'm sure it has been, right? But this actually is a passage about mission. The judgment that Jesus brings here is brought upon religious people in a religious space offering worship that is required or encouraged by their religious tradition. Catch that? Religious people in a religious space doing their religious duty, offering sacrifices and worship that they are called to do. Anyone familiar with what that might feel like today? Being religious people in a religious space doing religious things? You're here now. So the cleansing of the temple happened in the Jewish context of that day of what we're doing right now. Religious people in a religious place doing religious things. So it sort of helps us to readjust. What does it mean that's happening here? Because this didn't happen to someone else at some other time, necessarily. What does it mean for us today, right now, as religious people in a religious space doing religious things? The animal merchants were necessary, right? Offerings needed to be done at the temple. It was necessary and helpful. The money changers were necessary. In order to deposit coins in the temple at some places, you had to get the right coins, the proper coins. So all of these things that are happening that Jesus objects to are just part of the religious hustle and bustle happening in this religious place by these religious people. It's a lot of activity. I would argue that if you are an average Jewish person, especially if you come from a place like Nazareth, you get to this temple and you are just overcome and excited about all this religious activity happening around you. And yet, in the middle of it all, Jesus says, "No, no, no, we're not doing this," to the point that it says he tries to stop the flow of merchandise. I would love to see what that looked like. People carrying stuff right through the temple courts, and Jesus, does he stand in their way? Do the disciples form a human chain? I don't know what that looked like, but Jesus was so corrective in his judgment that he said, "I'm going to stop the movement of merchandise through this particular space." So is it about money changers? Is it about the offerings and sacrifices? I'd argue that's actually much deeper than that. And to understand why, we need to, Jesus quotes the Old Testament, in case you're not aware, in this passage, when Jesus says, "My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations," that is not him pulling it out of nowhere. That is something from the Old Testament. And any time Jesus quotes from the Old Testament, we should look at it and go, something significant is happening here. And so now, let's look at that actual passage in its context to understand maybe a little bit of the mission-oriented flavor of what's happening here in this passage. Isaiah 56, verses 3 through 7. "Let no foreigner who is bound to the Lord say, 'The Lord will surely exclude me from his people.' For this is what the Lord says, 'Foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord and to be his servants, all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it and hold fast to my covenant, those I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations.'" So you see the context. When Jesus quotes this passage in Jewish context, he is quoting the entirety of what's happening there. And it's not really about money changers necessarily, or doves, or benches. It's actually about the mission of God to gather all people to himself. The scene that we read about where Jesus cleanses the temple, we believe happened in what was called the court of Gentiles, the outermost court of the temple. And there's a picture that's going to come up on the screen that has sort of an arrow to show you. It was a big court, but it was on the furthest outskirts of what the temple worship was about. If you were a Gentile, that's as far as you could get. Now, if you were Jewish, the next level in was for Jewish women. Then the next level in was for Jewish men. And then eventually you had like the priestly class. And then eventually at the very, you know, middle, the Holy of Holies. And how many people could go in there? One, right? So it keeps getting reduced as you get closer to the center, which I think really sends the wrong message about who God is, but that's a sermon for another time. So in the court of Gentiles, if you were a Gentile, this is the closest you could come to the religious activity of what it meant to know and follow and worship this one God. And what's happening? The hustle and bustle of religious worship is crowding out those who feel far away and excluded. The people of God are so focused on proper worship that they lose sight of the actual mission of God. The worship of God, while perfectly acceptable and even good, was crowding out the mission of God to draw all people to himself. They literally were crowding out and not making room for the mission of God. They had constructed such a great system of worship that their system of worship was taking up so much space that God's desire to reach all people and bring them to him, to his holy mountain, to bring sacrifices and offerings was being disrupted. Their religiosity had grown so large, they were crowding out the mission of God. The emphasis on proper worship was so strong that there was no energy or attention left for that grand plan of God, which started, by the way, with Abraham. God's call of Abraham: "I will make you great. I'll make you a great nation." For what purpose? So that all the people of earth will be blessed through you. Guess what? The people of earth now want to come to the temple and worship. There's no room, because their worship had gotten so big and become such their only focus that there was no room for the mission of God to be birthed among them any longer. I think that's one of the main things that Jesus was so upset about, seeing these money changers and all of the crowding and the merchandise in that area. Brings us back to this one truth. This is all I want to tell you this morning. Well, not all, but this sort of brings it all together. Following Jesus holistically does not end with proper corporate worship and individual spiritual growth. It must include a mindset for mission, period. That's why we have an entire table dedicated to it. Individual growth is great. That's why we have the inner table. Growing together with others and worship is great. Common table, gather table. It's not that worship is unimportant. But the corrective of Jesus, I think, is a corrective that needs to be heard today. Has our desire for proper religious worship so taken our time and attention and energy that we don't have anything left to put into being the missional people God has called us to be, fulfilling his original mission given thousands of years ago and continuing to be reminded through people like Isaiah the prophet and then ultimately Jesus himself? I'm really excited about what we're doing today. Can I tell you that when we approached some of these people about the projects that we were going to do, their response was incredible. I mean, immediate yeses. And responses like, I can't believe you want to do that for us. There are people that are hungry, that have needs, and today we get to do just a little bit, just for a couple hours on one Sunday, to remind ourselves that this mission-oriented part of being a disciple of Jesus is crucial and critical to what we continue to do today. So, a few things to think and pray about, and then we're going to go ahead and break out and break off and go. So, here's a few things to prayerfully consider. Is a mission-centered reading of the temple cleansing episode in the ministry of Jesus one that is new to you? How does it compare to the other interpretations you've heard from this story? Just something to think and pray about. How has that passage been used in the past to teach you things, and is this something that you ever expected to get from a passage like that one? Secondly, how highly do you value proper and consistent corporate worship experiences, and then how does that level of value compare to the missional part of being a disciple of Jesus? Do you hold all of those things together? Third, do you consider yourself a missionary for the gospel? Why or why not? I will tell you, growing up in an evangelical friend's church, I, not explicitly, but was implicitly led to believe that missionaries were missionaries, and that was not me. And I've come to realize, boy, that's really not a great place to be. You are a missionary for Christ. Lastly, pray today and this week that God would guide you into situations and interactions with people, especially those who might feel excluded or forgotten by the church, so that they may know through your words or your actions that all people are welcome to know our gracious God. So let's take a moment to pray and reflect as we typically do, but also pray for all of these sending groups that are going into our community, that they would have opportunities not only to love and to serve, but to make manifest the beauty of the gospel here in our community today. So let's take time to pray, reflect, close your eyes, bow your head if you'd like to do that, and I'm going to close that time with prayer in just a moment.